We got a good group here today in spite of the snow. Amen? You guys are brave. Good for you, though. Thank you for coming. I trust that you had a great Thanksgiving. Everything was good. We celebrated ours last night, in fact. You know how it is when you've got family scattered out and then their kids are working and things are going on, you have to kind of adjust things so everybody could make it. So it did work out for us. Everybody was able to make it, and we did have a good time last night. Of course, you know Sherry, she likes to play games, so we had a game that I watched. They wanted me to play it. I said, no, let me watch this one. So I'm glad I watched. That worked out good. But anyway, God is so good. He's given us himself, which is so important and very needful, as you know. He's given us our friends and our church body here. He's given us our health. Our God is a giver. You know that one song we sing, I'll be honest with you, there's that one stanza I don't really like. He giveth and he taketh away. And what I say instead of he taketh away, I say, and he gives more. And that's my God who gives and continues to give. He doesn't give something and then right away snatch it away. Of course, that's me. You all can sing it however you like, but I see my God so much different than that. But anyway, if you would turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. I'm going to start with verse 11. I'd like to talk about the miracle of the cleansed, the healed, and the made well. The cleansed, the healed, and the made well. So it's talking here about the 10 lepers and how they were cleansed and what all went on. So verse 11 now of Luke chapter 17. Now it happened as he went through Jerusalem, or to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except for this foreigner? And he said to him, rise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Father, I ask this morning that you would open your word to all of us. Father, that we would come to understand and know, Lord, what you're trying to tell us in your word, in your scriptures. Father, that we might receive, that we might be whole and healed and delivered with whatever need there might be. Father, that we'd be able to even touch others, that you might also cleanse and heal and make well. So Father, we thank you for your word today. Holy Spirit, have your way. Teach us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So the account of the cleansing of the 10 lepers highlights here significant distinctions between the terms cleansed, healed, and made well, particularly in relation to the actions of thankfulness displayed by one of the lepers. So the context of this passage now, Jesus encounters the 10 lepers. They yell for help. Lord, have mercy on us. And he instructs them to show themselves to the priest. And as required by law for anyone who was cleansed from leprosy, that the priest would work over them and do all that is required of the law to have them cleansed. You know, leprosy was treated, it was treated as sin. When you go to the priest and the work that they do and how they have to take two birds and one gets dipped and one released, the other one is killed, and it's all like a sin offering. It's all dealing with sin. It kind of surprised me. And that's recorded if you look at Leviticus chapter 14, whole chapter on that, and also Leviticus 15. So 14 and 15 talks about this. And I guess it's kind of done that way because it kind of reacts like sin. You know how sin can separate us from God, how sin can hinder our prayers and our prayer life and our faith and our walk with God and receiving our blessings and just having a great life. Sin does that. It separates us from God. It even goes as far to say that the wages of sin is death. So it's a serious matter, and it's the same way with leprosy. You see, they had to be separated from everyone. Their homes, if they had a family in that, and one of them came down, or let's say the father came down with leprosy, how the whole family would be, usually it's taken out of the house because it's in the home, and they take them out and they have to replace the blocks, and if that doesn't work, it comes back or whatever, they really just destroy the whole home. And everybody has to be watched for a period to make sure that none of them have that disease. And two, the one that has it is automatically separated. And you know what they do is they go around and they tell people that are walking and maybe coming next to them, unclean, unclean, I'm unclean, stay away. Can you imagine what kind of life that is? To be rejected by people, no one talking to you, having anything to do with you. And so that's what they endure. But folks, we don't realize really what sin does to us. We don't go around saying, I'm a sinner, stay away. Nor do we really need to. But folks, we need to realize how bad sin really is, even the little ones. In fact, I don't think you can categorize them. Sin is sin. And so this disease is treated like sin. Kind of like, think about it, where did AIDS come from? Came from sin, didn't it? But yet, with how we think and the way the world is and man is, see, we tolerate that. And we don't have them go around saying, hey, don't come around me. I've got AIDS. I've got, no, no, no. See, you had to keep it quiet. You couldn't tell anybody. Doctors couldn't say, nobody could warn you. No, it's like it's protected. We protect this sin, this problem, we'll protect it. Let everybody else catch it, but it doesn't matter about them. And see, that's how the whole world is today and how they think. You see, what is good is evil, and what is evil is good. But that's what sin does. Sin contaminates everything, your mind, your heart, your thinking. So let's look at the first one. Well, I don't know if I read that whole thing. Let me finish what I got here. As they go, they are cleansed in verse 14. However, only one returns to thank Jesus. After seeing, he was healed. Verse 15, and Jesus remarks on the faith of the one who returned, saying, he was made well. In verse 19, a heart of thanksgiving and thankfulness and worship is very important. You see, folks, we talked, I believe it was last week, we talked about sensitivity. Sensitivity of the Lord. And what scripture and what the Lord should mean to us and how we should be thankful. But a lot of times we don't think about it. We're not that way. We're kind of pulled away. And so it's like, oh, God understands. He does. But yet, should we fall in that trap? To where we don't care enough to be thankful. You know, we should be thankful in everything. In everything, we need to learn to be a thankful people. Most of the time, you go anywhere now, and all you hear is people complaining. Nobody's happy. Nobody's satisfied. And that's how sometimes we become. So anyway, let's look at this cleansed versus healed. The term cleanse in verse 14 indicates a physical removal of leprosy. It suggests that the defilement associated with the disease has been lifted. That's why Jesus said, now go and tell or show the priest and let him offer up what needs to be done to take care of this all the way, to make it right with God. And they said, as they went, they were healed. You know, you sometimes get people and you pray for them, and it seems like nothing happens at the moment. And they say, well, that didn't work. Well, maybe as you go, you know what I mean? Maybe as you go, and as you continue to serve God, that it starts to leave. Kind of like taking medicine. Oh, man, got a headache. Give me an aspirin. Tylenol, whatever. And you take it, and it's like, oh, I still got that headache. I mean, you just swallowed it. I got that, still got that headache. Man, it hasn't done a thing. No, it takes a little time to start working, right? Well, sometimes the Lord wants to deal with our heart, our spirit, and say, now are you going to learn to trust me even when it looks like it's not working? So as the 10 lepers went, just one, seeing that he was healed, he wow, it's gone. And the nine, they just kept going, say, wow, isn't that great? Man, I'm done with this. Let me go get this done. I can go back home, get things straight. Now I can communicate with people. I don't have to run around and tell people that I'm unclean anymore. And that was good enough for them. I think that's the problem a lot of times with how we serve God. It's just good enough. I went to church today. I did that. It's good enough. It's enough. See, now I know I'm healed. See, I've been saved, and so I'm okay. I've been healed. I've been touched by the Lord, and it's good enough. But is it? You know, as I read this before, and I seen those three things, you know, being cleansed, seeing himself now healed, and then made well, it's kind of like, well, wait a minute, what is the Lord trying to tell us here? And I think what the Lord is showing us here is that there's a progression. It's not just good enough. It's not just a one-time thing. It's really a heart attitude. God, I want more. I want more. And see, that's what this man, when he came back, it's like, man, it's like, Lord, that's great, but look at what you've done for me. This is so great. And he goes back and he's just got to worship. He has to worship. He falls on his face before Jesus and glorifies him. Lord, thank you. No one else could help. No one else cared. But you did. And all we did was ask. See, that's how prayer works. And that's what's going on with us is ask. Lord says, ask and you shall receive. Then he says, seek and he shall find. And then he says, knock and it shall be opened to you. Do you see the progression? It's not just, well, somebody pray for me. Oh, thanks. And you go on your way and it's like nothing happened. Well, maybe you missed a progression. Maybe you missed something there. You know, I haven't seen, somebody show me, please, if you have seen this, but I have never seen in the New Testament where Jesus refused to heal somebody that came to him for healing and they were asking for it. Can anybody think of I can't, honestly. He healed everyone. He healed all that came to him. But it seems like, well, it's not working today. Well, we're missing some progressions here. So if you're interested, we'll continue on here. You see, the term healed in verse 15 can imply a broader restoration, a broader restoration for that, possibly encompassing both physical and even an emotional dimension to this healing. You see, the nine just got the leprosy removed. But what about the heart? See, they didn't even have enough in them, in their heart, to think about anyone else, to care enough to say thank you. See, God does a lot for us all the time. And most people don't even take the time to thank him. Folks, we need to be thankful people. We need a heart that is ready to just honor God and to be thankful for everything. Folks, for a long time, that's what I go around and I'm like, God, thank you. I just thank you for your love and your compassion. And then I start thinking of where I was and where I'd probably be right now if he hadn't touched my life. And I didn't even know how to go to the Lord and get my life healed. I didn't know. I didn't even know I needed that much healing. You ever been there? I didn't even know I was so messed up. But then the Lord gave me a friend who invited me, and he wasn't even saved. But he invited me to the church that his wife made him go to. And me being hungry and not knowing, we went. And Charlene made me go up the aisle. Boy, how dumb I was. But see, that's a lot of us. We don't understand really the compassion and the love that the Lord has for us. See, we don't understand that there's progressions as God deals with us and as we receive his blessings. See, he's trying to draw us in and give us more. And he's saying, man, don't just be satisfied there and be stuck where you're at right there. But he said, there's more. I've got more for you. Right now, you're not able to receive it. And that's what Jesus told his disciples, wasn't it? He said, I've got so much more to show you and teach you. But he said, you're not ready yet. You're not able to comprehend and receive it. And see, that's the progression as we learn and we draw closer to the Lord. And then he deals with us and he heals us, even in our ignorance. But see, the greatest wisdom that we can have is to desire more of God. And that's what I've always said, God, there's got to be more. When I was saved, here I'm saved, and it's like, God, there's got to be more. This is great. Salvation's wonderful. Thank you. But Lord, is there more? You're such a big God. There's got to be more. So in spite of my denomination and where they were and how they believed, I went beyond that. I'm like, God, there's more. I know there is. And I searched the word and I prayed and God dealt and he just moved me on. I got a long ways to go. Long ways to go yet. But folks, I'm starting to understand different things about progression. That there's so much more. Don't be satisfied just with what you got now. God says, come and get it. I offer it to you. But it takes you with a heart of thanksgiving and of worship. See, we've got to get that heart where it becomes tender again. That's why the Lord says when you're saved, in Ezekiel, he talks about when I save you, he says, hey, I'm going to give you a new heart. Right now, you've got a heart of stone. So you don't feel that closeness or that wanting to be able to worship and to acknowledge me and to be thankful or even to acknowledge the goodness of God. So he says, I got to give you a new heart. Folks, when I was lost, I never thought of thanks, you know, thanking God for things. I seen, well, I need this and I need that and that's wrong and that doesn't work. And isn't that right? Do y'all feel that way? Well, that's that heart of stone that we had. And then finally, God brings us to our knees. And he does it in such a loving way. He doesn't slap us down. Folks, he coaxes. He engages with us and he draws us to himself. And then finally, when we realize that God is really trying to love on us and change us, then we give in and we receive that new heart. And then we start feeling different if we allow the progression to work. See, the Lord, it's so good and so powerful that I don't care how smart we think we are or how mature we think we are where we're at. You have to be prepared for the next step. God has to do that. See, that's a work of God. And we just need to surrender to it and search for it. The nine, they just got their healing and they were gone. Hey, we're done with this, man. This is great. We'll leave before he takes it back. And you never hear anything more of them. But the one that came back, Jesus did a real work in his life. Because he said that... So in 15, implying a broader restriction that is possibly encompassing both his physical and his emotional problems. No telling how many years he was carrying this sickness and being rejected. You know, being in Vietnam and that, and you know, I'm on a little bit of disability with them, with the military, because of the Agent Orange and everything that we went through. The doctor was asking, oh, you have bad dreams and you do this and that and that. And I had to be honest. I could be on 100% disability just by saying, yeah, it's bad. Well, I didn't have those problems. I had them before I was saved. But it's like when I got saved, God did such a work in me that he took that. He took that away from me. So when the doctors were asking me that, I said, no, I don't have that now. Really? I said, no, I don't have it. But see, that was God that took that away. I had it before the years that I had been back before I was saved. But, man, when you have an encounter with God, there's a lot of things that are taken away and changed and healed that you never even asked for. And that's what happened to this young man because of his heart. He had heart for God. See, he had a soft heart. He was very thankful. So when he recognizes his healing, signifies the restoration of his body, but also highlights the implications for his overall well-being and social reintegration. You know, whether we realize it or not, much of sin and disease is caused by sin. Not all, but much of it is. And the way I look at it is a lot of people that I might pray for and may not be healed, maybe because they need to deal with the sin. You ever thought of that? You know, we pray for people and we want them healed, we're sincere, and we wonder why it's not working. You know, in James it says, if you're sick and you need healing, it says, call for the elders of the church to pray over you and anoint you with oil. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And if they've committed any sins, they'll be forgiven them. And then they'll be healed. See, folks, there's a lot of times there's a hindrance. God wants to do something, But God is hindered because we don't want to deal with something that's blocking what God really wants to do for us. Y'all understand what I'm trying to say? It's very serious. And I really don't want to look at people, you know, say, oh man, what, I wonder what sin they did. I don't even go there as God. They just need you. God, they need your touch like I needed your touch. So I'm not thinking of it in a condemning way. Nor does God look at people and condemn them. But he just says, I've got to do some work in you so that you're ready. You're ready to give that up. See, there's a lot of folks that are in their sin and don't want to give it up. So they really don't go to church and not really after getting closer to God. And they're just kind of stuck. And yet God does love them very much. And he wants to change them. But see, they've got to make a choice. Yes, Lord, I'm ready. And I had to come to that part. You know, people that I see a lot of them that are needing healing, and they used to go to church, but now they're really not, you know, they still believe, they don't have a problem, they love God, you know, they say, and but it's like, I've learned that in my life to go with God, you know, I had to make time. I had to determine a time. No, we're going to do. The morning we went to church the first time, of course, I was on the farm. We had pigs everywhere. Well, the electric went out, and they got out, a bunch of them. They were in the front yard digging holes. You know how hogs are. They don't just eat the grass on the top. They want the roots on the bottom. They're digging up my yard. Charlene says, pigs are all out. We got 50 of them in the front yard. She said, we're going to miss church. I said, no, we're going. We're going. The pigs will be here when we get back, I hope. But folks, the devil will do what he can to stop you, to discourage you, to take you off in another direction. See, he wants to keep that hard heart in you. But we've got to come to a place that says, no, God, I'm walking with you at any cost. It doesn't matter. And then Charlene saying, all right, first time going to this church, what do we wear? Only women have this problem. And some men maybe that want to be women. But anyway, she says, what do I wear, a pants outfit or a dress? I said, I don't know, just wear something. Well, I need to know. I don't want to be, you know, they're real formal or not. So do I wear a dress? I said, just put on anything. It'll be great. And she said, well, no, I really need to know. And I said, well, I don't care if you wear anything at this point. We are going. But folks, sometimes you gotta make a stand and be determined. My kids, when they're hurting and they want prayer for something, I'm saying to them, you better start going to church, because that's your problem. Your heart's getting harder. You need to be in church. Well, you know, they're not. You need to be in the fellowship. You need to commit to that. Even if you think it's not working, it's working. Because you're making that decision, that commitment, the honoring of God. God, I'm going, not because I think I really need it or it's really all that important, but Lord, I'm doing it to honor you. You know, when you want to get a loan from the bank, it's hard to get a loan sometimes. I can remember wanting to get a loan that's like, gee whiz. do I have to give you my firstborn? You know? But you do all the process because you need the money. And so you go through it, and it takes days and weeks and lots of aggravation. But you do it. Sometimes the Lord will get you through stuff and bring you in, folks, to where you have to fulfill the promise. Sometimes it's so important for you to go to church and get right with God and say, God, I'm doing it for you. Lord, I'm having my quiet time because I want to get close to you. I want to know how to be able to pray for my children and my loved ones. And Father, the only way is by you. So we have to learn to really determine in our heart, God, I'm going to serve you. It's kind of like the one that came back to Jesus. He could have left with the others, say, well, they're not going back, so I don't. Probably I shouldn't go. I mean, after all, he's a foreigner. The others were probably Jews, and he, you know, he's thinking, well, I guess it's a Jewish thing. You don't need to. But see, he was compelled. No, I don't care what anybody else says or does. I'm going back. Nobody can hold him away. You know, we had Lucy filling in here, and, you know, once in a while I would hear a wrong note. But I'm going to tell you, nobody here could do better. You know what I mean? But she gave of herself, even though I'm a little rusty, I'm still going to serve God. You see, God isn't calling you to be perfect. Called you to be willing. And that's what's important. Be willing. God, I don't see how this will work. I don't understand this, but Lord, I'll do it because that's what your word talks about. It's what it says. And Lord, I want to be faithful to you. See, my faith doesn't just go by what I know and understand. You see, I want my faith to be faithful to God at any cost. And so in verse 19, it says, that he was made well. Another part of the progression. Now, let me share with you what that really means, made well. So it carries further implications in the original Greek. The word used here is sozo, S-O-Z-O, which can mean saved or delivered. Do you see what everybody else missed out on? They got rid of their leprosy, and they were satisfied with just a little. But this guy went back and he worshiped God. And look what God did with him. Healed his soul, his emotions, his hurt, his pain. Not only taking care of the disease, but then Jesus even delivered him, saved him. Folks, you can't outdo God. But you have to be willing. There's different stages. It's not just, what, get saved, man, and you're okay. Good to go, don't worry about it. No, there's so much more. Do you want it? Lord says, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Yeah, be satisfied where you're at. I see most churches that are like that. They're good people, go to church every Sunday. And I've had them tell me, Jim, I don't want any more. I'm happy where I'm at. And those people that are happy where they're at don't like me. I don't know why, but they don't like me. It's okay. It's kind of like me playing the piano to them. And everyone would be a wrong note, let me tell you. And that's what I sound like to them. Because they're like, don't tell me that stuff, because then I might have to do it. And it's better to just play stupid and not do it and know it. Y'all know that? I've had people tell me, hey, I'm not required to do something I don't know, so don't tell me anything. Do you want to stay stupid? Better yet, you're ignorant. You want to stay ignorant of the Word of God. So, folks, if we change and allow God to work in our lives, and we follow His principles in His ways, we'll be blessed, so blessed. And then when we have a family member or a loved one or someone else that we might meet on the street or in the stores, and we see they got a problem, that we'll be able to help them. Folks, isn't it nice to help people? Man, I look for them wherever I go. I look for those that have a need. If somebody's at the cash register with groceries and they're counting pennies trying to figure out how they can pay that full amount, I want to just go up and say, I'll take care of it. I don't want to see people take things out of their bag and lay them to the side because they can't afford them. Folks, I'm called to be a blessing. And God blesses me to be a blessing. But as painful sometimes as things might be, I'm going to go through the process. Lord, do with me what you have to, but I want more. I'm not satisfied with just this, Lord. You've got it for me, Lord, and I want it. Teach me. Prepare me. I've said too much already. I hope not. I got two more pages, but anyway. And I do. I can show them to you. I like when I was in Honduras at one time on a missions trip. I could preach for 2 hours. And they didn't care. They came. Most of them had to walk 10 miles to get there that night. And they'd do it every night. And most of them slept in boxes or in caves. They talked about how they would go to the stream just to wash up. The ladies washing their hair in the streams to come to church. And you would preach for 2 hours and give an hour's worth of invitation for them to come up for healing or for prayer. And they had chairs. And when you would give the invitation, the pastor grabbed me and pulled me back. Because I was standing in front when I gave it. He grabbed me and pulled me off to the side. And I'm like, what in the world? I'm almost falling over. He's dragging me back so fast. But folks, they knocked over chairs to run to the front. They ran to the front. My daughter was with them, and the teenagers led it. They grabbed her and drug her up to the front as they ran. Folks, they were hungry. And the last night of the revival, well, it was the second, it was a night before the end. The Lord moved in such a special way, and there was so much healing, people being spirit-filled. There was so much going on. And the next night, I couldn't even preach because the pastor came to me and said, Jim, I don't know what we're going to do, but he says, everybody wants to give a testimony. I'm like, that's a problem? That's not a problem. I love, let him talk about what God did for him. That's what we're here for, to teach them, to bring them in to where they can receive the blessings that God has for them. And so they took the whole night. We were there for hours. They were given testimonies of how God healed them, touched them, changed them, the work that he did in their lives. But folks, that's in a foreign country. Doesn't happen in here. We got to beg them. Beg people to come. They're afraid of prayer or something. I don't know. We just feel that we don't need it. I'm okay. So that's why people love to be missionaries. I love to be a missionary myself. Lord, send me. Pray with me if you would. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I ask that you would bless the hearer today. That you would show us your truth, Lord. That you would once again revive that heart of flesh that you've given us. Lord, that we can be so in tune with you, Lord, that we just want to worship you and praise you for who you are. And have that glorious time with you. Father, you're so good. You're so patient with us. Thank you for that. Holy Spirit, move in our lives. Give us your strength, the power of God, the direction of the Lord. Give us your grace, Lord, that we can truly serve you, that we'll be determined and we will indeed worship you in everything and thankfulness. Thank you, Father. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me read this blessing over you. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. God bless.